Hello and welcome to Truth in Journalism, a radio broadcast dedicated to applying the Word of God to current events. Well, today on Truth in Journalism, we're going to talk about conscience. Our article is by Doug Wilson and is entitled, Our Incident at City Hall. So this is what will happen. I will explain later on below why I think it happened. Yesterday, Christ Church sponsored a flash psalm sing at City Hall. We were going to appear there at 4:45, sing three psalms or hymns, then the doxology, and then out. The psalms were Psalm 20, Psalm 124, and Amazing Grace. When we arrived, the police were waiting for us. One of them informed me that people either had to social distance or wear a mask, or otherwise face a citation. I told him that I would inform everyone of that, which I did. I said a brief prayer, and we began to sing. Over the next 15 minutes of singing, three of our people were arrested, and two others were cited. The first thing to note is that we had every legal and constitutional right to be there, and to do what we did. This was not an assembly of scofflaws. It really was a peaceful protest, a petition to our city government for a redress of grievances, and a religious assembly all in one. Everything about it was proper. We sang three songs and the doxology, and then went home. We took the step because of two very recent factors. The first and most obvious is that this last Monday night, our city council extended their masking mandate into January. This, despite the fact that our county, Leda County, has had zero hospitalizations and there have been zero deaths. We are not facing a medical emergency here. This has become increasingly obvious to every unbiased observer as time has gone by. And despite the fact that there is no medical emergency here, our city council unanimously outlawed Merry Christmas at the cash registers around town, requiring us instead to offer a muffled Merry Christmas. The second factor is that just a few weeks ago, there was an outdoor wedding here, presided over by our mayor. At least one of our council members was in attendance, as was law enforcement. Masks, however, were not in attendance. If there was no virus hazard at that wedding, and there was not, then there was no virus hazard at our psalm saying yesterday, as there was not. By having his police department enforce his order, our mayor is not enforcing an order that we don't believe has merit, but which he does. No, not even close. He is enforcing an order that he does not believe in either. So, we have every right to protest the high hypocrisy involved in all this. Not only so, but I believe we have a responsibility to do so. Having said that, I do want to mention that our protest was not conducted Portland style. The federal building is just a block away from City Hall, and I can say that I was very proud of our people. Not one of them tried to burn it down. Rather, we addressed this hypocritical and nonsensical law in a peaceful, orderly, law-abiding, and responsible way. Also, yesterday, something else occurred that probably had something to do with the arrests. A committee for a referendum on masks officially formed, and we began the process of gathering enough signatures to require a special election that will repeal the mask ordinance. Our city government has been extraordinarily cavalier thus far in its dismissal of any who have presented cogent arguments against what they are doing. All they have needed to do is let the objectors have their 3 minutes at the council meeting before the mic, before they do what they already have decided to do. We intend to arrange for a straight up or down vote on the question. That will mean public debate, and that in turn will also mean that those urging the mask mandate will have to answer questions and will have to defend their position. This is something which they have thus far shown they are not capable of doing. If a hypocritical city government really wants to double down on issuing misdemeanor citations to its most responsible citizens for singing psalms, I am pretty sure we can arrange for hundreds of not guilty pleas, along with hundreds of requests for a jury trial. I do need to mention one last thing. The policemen who were involved in citing and arresting people for singing hymns really ought to be heartily ashamed of themselves. I know that our cops hate the position the city has put them in, and they have my sympathy as far as that goes, but they still need to review the question for themselves. How bad do the orders have to get before you do your duty by refusing to enforce them? Okay, so first, if you haven't heard about this issue, don't be surprised. The outrage mongers who perpetuate the incessant charade, also known as mainstream news, have no interest in this case. And they have no interest in this case for several reasons. First, because all masking is good masking and everyone should be wearing a mask, except when it's a leftist politician getting caught, or a radical anarchist or communist screaming in the face of a major city cop, or a thug looting or burning. In those cases, mask wearing isn't necessary, but heavens to Betsy, not wearing a mask at a public hymn sing, these people are monsters. Second, because Doug Wilson is the provocateur par excellence. He's reformed Christianity's enfant terrible. And frankly, I doubt if any in the news industrial complex know who he is. Third, because the news has long demonstrated that they have no interest in ever showing Christians in any kind of sympathetic light, unless, of course, they're the kinds of Christians who call for riots and advocate for abortion on demand, you know, the kind of Christians that are kind of ambivalent about Christ, those kinds of Christians. I'm sure that there are more reasons why you won't hear about this, but either way, unless you're listening to right-wing or explicitly Christian sources, you're not likely to hear about this story because the news would really much rather continue fomenting riots about a perfectly legitimate decision in the Breonna Taylor case, or really whatever the misinformation du jour is. But what is the story? Well, five people were cited and two people were arrested, according to the local daily. And one of them, a man named Gabe Wrench, who was arrested, is currently running for county commissioner. According to the Moscow Pullman Daily News, he was arrested for, and I quote, for suspicion of resisting or obstructing an officer, but he was not charged. Okay, so if all you were to know about this situation is that the arrests and citations were... You might, if you were me, for instance, like somebody like me, you might say, well, you know, bad laws are still laws, and unless a law forces you to sin or prevents you from doing something God has commanded, then you probably need to follow it. You might think that mask laws are great, and you want to wear masks all the time. Great, great. You might think that mask laws are dumb, and that masks don't do anything. Well, suck it up, buttercup. If you don't like it, change the law. Like I said, that's almost always my response. But this case gives us a fascinating look at a little thing called conscience. You see, there is a problem for people who, like me, on one hand believe that Christians are obligated to obey onerous and stupid laws as long as they don't contradict any of God's commands, but who also think that there are legitimate places for civil disobedience. I've said before, and I'll say again, a human law and legal system needs three things if it's going to have any chance of creating justice. To be a good law, the law must be enforceable and reasonable, and its application and sentencing must be predictable. And when laws are not enforced, public confidence fades. If you don't enforce, I don't know, let's pick a random non-specific example. I don't know. What's a crazy thing to not enforce? Something that no one would ever choose to not enforce unless they were either stupid or corrupt. Rioting. Let's take rioting. Okay, so if you don't enforce riot laws, you're going to get more riots. And people will not have faith in a city's political will. And people who don't like riots, they'll leave. Or they'll vote out the stupid slash corrupt politicians, or they'll just suffer silently. If a law is unreasonable, then people will hate it, and a lot of people will disobey it, rightly or wrongly, because they hate onerous laws. Then we come to predictability. And this one is tricky, because I see every single stupid day in this stupid world we live in, I see people posting images of one person who committed a slight offense and had the book thrown at them, and someone who committed some egregious offense and got off basically on nothing. Okay, until you have all the facts, that means nothing. Does the Facebook post tell you their prior criminal history? Does it tell you the strength of the evidence the prosecution had? Were they confident in a trial, or did they plea down the sentence? What about the judges? Because let's not forget that judges are local political officials. They're political lawyers. They can be voted out, they can be voted in, and people vote for the kinds of judges who issue the kinds of sentences that they want. See, that's the funny thing about a federalist system, is that just because cops aren't arresting maskless rioters in Portland doesn't mean that it's okay to flout the law in Moscow. And because people, my dear Christian brothers and sisters, are saying things like, well, if I were at a BLM riot in Louisville, I don't have to wear a mask, but in Moscow, Idaho, I do. That's not fair. Well, yeah, they're not the same legal jurisdiction. They're not even in the same state. They're not even on the same side of the Mississippi. So yeah, bad behavior in Louisville doesn't mean that it's okay to break the law in Moscow, Idaho. But what about when the law is unfairly applied in Moscow? What about when there is another set of laws for the mayor and the important Muscovites, and another set of laws for the plebs? Well, that's not really a law anymore. That's an absolutist dictate. And this is where I struggle. On one hand, the scriptures are plain. We are to obey the government against a lot of disobedience. Unless the government commands what God forbids or forbids what God commands, we're not really free to disobey. Now, I'll grant that that stance needs to be modified a little bit in the United States because we have a constitution. And we have a right to defend violently ourselves from government tyranny in this country. I swore an oath when I was 18 to support and defend the Constitution. Now, although I'm no longer in the military, I believe that I'm still bound by that oath. I have not been freed from my responsibility to support and defend the Constitution. And I believe that because of the system we live in, a Christian can, in perfectly good conscience, in perfectly clear conscience, refuse to obey an unconstitutional law. In fact, I think a Christian must disobey an unconstitutional law, because to obey an unconstitutional law is, in fact, lawbreaking. But what about the masks? The problem is not that Moscow has a policy that seems stupid to some people. So what? That's an issue for voters. Suck it up, Buttercup. No, the problem is that the law is not only being applied not uniformly, it is being used as a weapon against political opponents as it's being applied non-uniformly. When the mayor and the hoity-toity folk have one set of rules and hoi polloi have another, now we're in territory where I, as a biblical scholar, I don't really know what to say. On one hand, I want to say, too bad, suck it up, Buttercup. But on the other hand, Americans are supposed to resist unjust and tyrannical forms of government. Here's a passage that may shed some light on the issue. Hosea 4:14 says this, "I will not punish your daughters when they turn to prostitution, nor your daughters-in-law when they commit adultery, because the men themselves consort with harlots and sacrifice with shrine prostitutes. A people without understanding will come to ruin." Now, in this instance, God is telling the people that they have come to such a point of corruption that prostitution is commonplace. Man, I can't imagine living in such a society. Yet a whole lot of the menfolk who themselves were going to whorehouses and committing adultery were simultaneously trying to enforce the laws which punish prostitution and adultery against their daughters and daughters-in-law. Like Judah, who wanted Tamar burned for harlotry, only to have his own disgusting immorality shoved in his face, God is telling this immoral and corrupt and hypocritical generation of Israelites that God is not actually going to hear these men's curses against their daughters and daughters-in-law when they themselves are committing adultery with whores. God's saying, you can't go a-whoring and then go to law against these girls. I won't hear it. You don't bring that kind of hypocrisy before God. When you're a hypocrite, in your application of the law, it is meaningless. When you're a hypocrite in your application of the law is meaningless. Or at least that's one way of interpreting this passage. Because when God says he won't punish the girls because the men are hypocrites, that doesn't necessarily mean the girls aren't engaged in sin. Perhaps it simply means that there will be no especial punishment for the girls, but they will face the common judgment coming on the nation for being a nation full of prostitution. Perhaps we're supposed to take this verse at face value. Perhaps we're to understand this figuratively. I tend to think that this passage is figuratively. As far as biblical and systematic theology, I think it's pretty plain that this is a figurative passage. But that doesn't explain it away. Here's what we can say for sure. The theological consequences for lawbreaking are diminished when those in authority are hypocrites. Let me say that again. I believe that Hosea 4:14 teaches plainly and clearly that the theological consequences for lawbreaking are diminished when those in authority are hypocrites. In other words, if the mayor of Moscow is presiding over weddings with law enforcement present and nobody has to wear a mask, then the mayor has the audacity to sic the police on a church gathering to sing songs as a form of protest, a protest against a law which is being unequally applied. If that happens, then I don't know that the people not wearing masks are wrong. I don't know that they're right. If people are protesting the unequal application of the law and the mayor responds by unequally applying the law, I don't know that Christians are bound here. This is a matter of conscience that I don't have a good answer for. Particularly, I don't have a good answer for this. What, living in an American context where Americans are supposed to not simply obey laws that are unjust and unjustly applied. There is such a thing as civil disobedience. And I don't know where we stand here. I don't know what's right or wrong in this instance. Maybe everyone is wrong. And in fact, that's kind of where I lean, but maybe not. But here's the sad irony. This is the sad and really the tragic irony is that this is entirely a matter of conscience and that our country is moving farther and farther from God. And yet we're seeing more and more issues where conscience matters deeply. But we have so very few people who have a fully functioning conscience to help us navigate these issues. Here's the final point. God is very, very clear about a lot of things. God is unclear about some things. Some things are clear on paper, but very unclear in real life. And some things are very unclear on paper and very clear in real life. Navigating this world as a Christian is difficult, and it is only going to get harder. And that's why we need to pray. We need to pray. We need to think. We need to talk deeply about issues of conscience so that we can have our minds made up ahead of time on what we believe is the godly way to respond to these issues of conscience facing our society, and we won't be caught unawares. We need to pray, and we need God to form our conscience. I hope and pray we will, and I hope you'll join us again next time for another exciting episode of Truth in journalism. Thank you, and may God bless your day to His glory.